Hey everyone, welcome back. My name is Lynn Wilson and welcome to today's podcast called Hope for Today. So my theme this week, I've told you the last couple of weeks, is get it done in 21 and we're going to do it. I have been so inspired over the past couple of days. I have just been given words of wisdom. I have been given direction by the Lord, confirmations. What does all of it mean in the end? I have no idea. It's not like I've been given this package that I can say, okay, when you open this box, you're going to have 10 examples of what you need to do. And then you're going to know what to do. I have no idea. I just know what God has been telling me. And even through my own prayer life and studying the Word, you know, when you do those things and you're walking with the Lord, you hear Him talking to you. And I had gotten words of wisdom from my husband during the week. And my son preached yesterday. I got more words of wisdom on things that I've been praying about that they don't even know about, but God knew. Then I came into work today and one of my coworkers shared a message he had heard over the weekend. He said, I just feel that this is something you need to hear. So of course I had to listen to it. And it was just like the icing on the cake of everything I know God's been telling me. So I'm excited that you were here today. I'm excited to tell you God has a plan for both you and me. We are going to get it done in 21. Even though we don't know what the end results are going to be, you and I can trust and have faith and know that we can be content in what God is doing, and there is power behind that contentment. So here we are. Here we are in the beginning of the year, the beginning, middle to the end of the first month. What have you been doing? Have you been studying the Word? Have you been praying? Have you been getting to church? Are you walking with the Lord? Or did you kind of slip up? You know, last year was kind of rough. Maybe you weren't reading as much or praying as much or getting together. You know, my last podcast was talking about going home and just getting back together with God's people. Have you been doing that? Maybe you need to do that. Maybe today is the day to just give you that extra little nudge that it's time. It's time to be back with God's people. So over the last few weeks, I've mentioned to you that I keep hearing God whisper to me and telling me it's okay. And I've told you I can't define what that meant. If you asked me, I'd have no idea. I can only tell you what God has told me and that it is okay. But I feel like I'm coming more and more closer to maybe not fully being able to define it, but getting more of a definition from the Lord that I think I'm getting ready to be able to tell you what's going on. So I want to dive into some scripture for the next few minutes. And if you have your Bibles, you can open to 1 Samuel. We'll be in chapter 16. Please forgive me if I don't pronounce some of these names of these Bible characters correctly, but you'll understand as we read the passage. Finally, the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul, for I have rejected him as the king of Israel. Now take a vial of olive oil and go to Bethlehem and find a man named Jesse, for I have selected one of his sons to be the new king." But Samuel asked, "How can I do that? If Saul, who was the king, hears about it, he's going to kill me." The Lord said to take a heifer with you. And when you have come, and tell them that you have come to make a sacrifice for the Lord. Then call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint. So Samuel did as the Lord had told him to do. And when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the city came trembling to meet him. "What's wrong?" they asked. "Why have you come?" And he replied, "All is well. It's okay. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he performed the purification rite on Jesse and his sons and invited them too. And when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, "Surely this is the man the Lord has chosen." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by a man's face or height." He was probably a good-looking dude. "For this is not the one. I don't make decisions the way you do. Men judge on the outward appearance, but I look at a man's thoughts and intentions. Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But the Lord said, this is not the right man either. And next, Jesse summoned Shammah. But the Lord said, no, this is not the one. In the same way, all seven of his sons presented themselves to Samuel and were rejected. The Lord has not chosen any of them, Samuel told Jesse. So Samuel knew by the Lord, these are not the right men that I need. So Samuel then says, are all these of the sons that you have? Well, there is the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields and he's watching the sheep. Send for him at once, Samuel said, for we will not sit down to eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him, and he was a fine looking boy, nice face with pleasant eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, I want you to anoint him. So David stood there among his brothers. Samuel took the olive oil he had brought and poured it upon David's head. And the Spirit of Jehovah came upon him and gave him great power from that day onward. Wow, what a story. What a story. Now let's go into Philippians very quickly, chapter 4 and verses 11 to 13. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I'm well fed or I'm hungry, whether living in the plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So what can we see in Samuel's life? What was God doing with him? Well, I wrote down 7 points that I really grasped out of this. The story is that God wanted another king for Israel. And Samuel, being the high priest, is the one that needed to go and find him. God told him, I need you to do this. Now, there's a backstory to this as to how they got to this point. But this is the point that we pick it up on. So they needed a new king for Israel, and Samuel went to the Lord and said, we need a new king. And the Lord said, yes, this is what I want you to do. And he said, I want you to go and find this man, Jesse, and you're going to find who you need right there. But Samuel was like, but if I go, Saul, he's going to get his guys after me. He's going to kill me. Like, he's not going to put up with this, me looking for another king. He is the king. The Lord said, don't worry about it. I want you to take a heifer. I want you to go and say you're going to give sacrifice. The Lord told him exactly what he needed to do. Samuel was given very distinct direction, and he obeyed the Lord. And this is the only way that he knew that he could stay safe. When Samuel got to Jesse and the first son came out, Samuel would be like me. See this guy, tall, dark, and handsome. He fits the bill. Now this guy, he's the poster child for a king. Like, hands down, right, Lord? This good guy? Oh, no, not the right one. Oh, okay. The Lord said, no, that's not the right one. Then each one came in front of Samuel, one at a time. And nope, next. Look at that. Nope, not that one. Nope, next. Nope, not that one either. And when he got all done, Samuel knew what God told him. He knew. And he knew that none of them were here. So that's when he said to Jesse, are there no more? Are these all your sons? Well, I did have one other, but he's a young guy, you know. And, you know, you and I would not necessarily say that this young person was the poster child to be a king. You know, he's in the fields tending the sheep, probably like a minimum wage job, doesn't have a college degree. Maybe good looking, you know, but doesn't really have a whole lot to offer. We might even joke around and says, you know, the type of job that he has would be more like, you know, he's flipping burgers and he's on minimum wage and he doesn't really have any qualifications and his resume isn't full. That didn't matter. God knew the person's heart. We look at so much of the outside of a person. Is their hair right? Do they have the right clothes? Do they have the right this? Do they have the right that? That's not what God wants. There's nothing wrong with looking good. There's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. There's nothing wrong with looking your best. But that's not what it's all about when it comes to what the Lord wants from you. So Samuel thought he knew what God wanted when the first son came out, and he had to go through all the sons to realize none of them were there, but there was this young man out in the fields, and that's who he wanted. So he had to summon him and say, listen, we're not going any further until I check him out. And he said, yep, that's who God told me, and he anointed him. To me, when I look at the life of Samuel, just at least in this, you know, chapter that we're going through, he must have had some relationship with the Lord. Because when God told him, you need to go, I need you to go find this person that will be the new king. Samuel was afraid for his life, but Lord, they're going to kill me. They're going to come after me. And the Lord said, well, here's what you need to do for safety. And we don't read that Samuel said, yeah, but you don't understand. You know, Samuel's big and tough. He's got this whole army that can protect him and come after me. And he just said, okay. And he did what the Lord told him to do. Wow. To be that close in a walk with the Lord, that when the Lord tells me to do something, it wasn't like Samuel knew exactly what was going to happen. He was given instruction to go and to look. And now take these provisions with you so that you will stay safe. But he was faithful in what God wanted him to do. His walk with the Lord was so good that he trusted the Lord. He just trusted him. We don't see that awkwardness of, how many times myself, the Lord has said, Lynn, I know the Lord is nudging. I'm like, but Lord, you don't understand. I am not good at that. I can't do this in front of people, or I don't act very well in that situation, or I don't know how to handle myself in that situation. That's not what the Lord asked. He said, Lynn, I need you to go. Now I can bring those to him, but then when he says to me, it's okay, I got you. If I've been walking close with the Lord, I will be able to hear that, and I'll be able to know that, just like Samuel did. And I can set out on my journey. Samuel was so faithful in the task that God had given him that he did not choose to do his own thing. Now, here's another situation I look at in this passage where when he looked at the first brother or son of Jesse, and, you know, out of all the boys, he said, oh, this is the one. Like, hands down, this is the guy. And then the Lord said, no. How many times have we ventured into something and the Lord said no? And Lord, do you realize, you know, we want to have this like debate with the Lord, or we want to have this, let me set you straight with the Lord. We don't need to set anything straight. He's in control. I can remember a situation many years ago, and I made a decision and I made a choice. And it was to buy a car. And I knew without a doubt that the Lord was telling me no. But I knew better because I needed a brand new car, and I needed this model and make and this year. And I knew I had no money at all to pay for this car. And it was like jumping through hoops to get a loan and to get this and that. It was every red flag that could go up to say, Lynn, no. But I was determined to do what I wanted to do. Well, my husband and I were going for some financial counseling at the time, and they had no idea what was going on. They just looked at our paperwork, and he said, well, here's where we can make some changes. And he tweaked and he tweaked and he tweaked, and he said, you're going to have to give up the car. And I said, I will do anything. Oh, I just yesed him up, actually, in the session. Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. We got in the car. I looked at my husband. I said, there is no way. I will do anything. I am not giving up that car. I had dug my heels in. My problem, I was so fearful that we would not have a means of transportation for all that we were doing at the time. Life was very complicated at the time, and I needed a good car to get me around. And I was not listening to the Lord because Lynn knew what I needed. Well, I will tell you, the next day, my oldest son and my husband were in the car and got in a car accident. The car was 2 weeks old, 2 weeks, brand spanking new, 2 weeks old. And the car got hit on the parkway and the car was totaled, demolished. My husband and my son walked out of the car, not a scratch on them. Car was totaled and the insurance paid the whole thing off. The whole story is a miracle. I learned my lesson then. When God tells you no, don't tell him. You're not going to listen. He has the power to do what he needs to do in your life to make things right. I told him no, I refused. He took the car away from me. I had no choice. He not only just took it away because I couldn't make a payment, he totaled the car and protected my son and my husband. I learned a hard lesson that day. When God tells you no, it's no. When God tells you no, then say to him, okay, that's no. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What should I have purchased? And listen to what the Lord is going to tell you. It's so easy to tell other people these things, but I know in my own life, I gotta tell you, listen, when God tells you no, you know, when one door shut, the other door opens and you hear all these things. And it is true, but when you're living it, it is so hard to be there. But just like Samuel's relationship with the Lord was so tight with the Lord, he had all his trust in the Lord. He was faithful to what the Lord told him. Now let's review a few things in from Philippians that we read. So I've heard this verse many times. You know, you hear it preached. I've heard it. But I'll tell you, when my husband was explaining it to me, it was like this wow moment. Be content. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. How many times, if I could have you raise your hand, have you heard this verse and we're like, yeah, be content. My husband's on disability and he lives with epilepsy and seizures every day of his life. Some days he has one or two, some days he has in the 20s or 30s. It is what it is. It's a fact of life. This is where he's at. And he's been studying the book of Philippians in his quiet time. And he came across this verse and he's been praying about things that, you know, just like all of us do, what your struggles are and all that. But he broke this verse down for me the other day and it was like, I can't even tell you, it was like 20 light bulbs went off. And he said, whatever circumstances I am in. Now this, let me explain it very simple. It's not like I want to lose 25 pounds and I can say I can get up and I can throw out the junk food and get, you know, carrot sticks and celery sticks and eat salad instead of that big bucket of ice cream in the freezer. And I can go for a walk instead of watching TV. I can control that. I can do something. My husband's in a situation. There's nothing he can do. Fact of life, this is where he's at. But he can be content in the circumstances he is in. And my husband said, it was like, oh, I can be content. I don't have to like it. I don't have to love it. But my husband needs to be content in the circumstances he's in. We just went on and we had this discussion in the car and I said, finances. Sometimes you're living paycheck to paycheck. I get it. Other times you have a lot of money. I could say, well, why can't I be like them and, you know, have money in the bank and have this? Whoa, time out. What did the Lord tell me? Be content in the circumstances that you're in. I don't know why God has you in certain circumstances. I don't know. It's not for you to question. It's not for me to question. It's not for me to say, well, I deserve better. You know, they have a better job and they make a lot more money and that's where I should be. That is not for me to do. I am to be content in whatever situation I am in. The home that you're in, be content. The car that you're in, be content. The position you're in at work, be content. The position you're in at life, be content. Does that mean you can't strive and have goals? No, you can do that. But there's a sense in your own person, in your spirit, that you are content where you are right now. You know this is where God has you. He's got you right here. If he gives you a vision for something else, and we talked about this, either was either last week's podcast or the week before, that, you know, without vision, people perish. I think it was last week. And that is my verse. I claim that as my verse all the time. I need a vision. And I will pray, Lord, I need a vision. I will joke with my kids and my husband. I pray for a postcard from heaven. Airmail from heaven. Lord, I need hope. I need encouragement today. I need a postcard from you to know I'm doing okay. And the weirdest thing will happen, and it'll just confirm you're okay. But there's a state of mind that we need to be content. When we're okay, when I can honestly say I'm sitting here with maybe a plain peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and boy, I would love a steak. Wouldn't you like a steak? But you know what? I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich today, and that's okay. I can eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's okay. When you can get to the point where you're okay, that's when God can use you. God is our strength. He is the power behind everything we do. And the verse says, only through him, through his strength, can we get through things. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give you strength. The secret and the power of contentment is strength that we get from the Lord. Just like Samuel was content to obey God, he knew where his strength would come from. Our power in any situation and the strength comes from him. But for us to recognize it, we need to be faithful in following him. Faithfulness goes hand in hand with contentment. We need to be faithful, loving the Lord, faithful, worshiping the Lord, faithful, reading his word, faithful, praying to him, and faithful, listening to him. Reading the word does not mean, oh, I've read his word, I'm hearing him. No, you can read his word and stick your fingers in your ears and say, I'm reading the word, but I'm not listening because I want that car. I could have read the word all I wanted, but I already had made a decision. Like Samuel, the Lord told him, no, I needed to listen. The Lord had something better for me, and I wasn't willing to wait to see. If you are content in your spirit, then as things come up in life, you will be able to say, like I refer to my last several podcasts, it's okay because God's got it. Do I have this down perfectly and in my own life right now? Absolutely not. I can't come before you and say, hey, years and years I've worked at this and I've mastered it. I have not. But I can tell you, it's getting better and better. The more I have spent time with the Lord this year, the more I feel the Lord saying, Lynn, it's okay. And in that, I have become content in some areas of my life. There are silly little things that I have been praying about that if I told you, you would go, really? But to me, they're important. And you might have even things in your own life that are really, really important to you that someone else might not understand. You don't need to share that with anyone. Bring it to the Lord. Lord, I'm struggling in this area. I want to be content. There was something particular over the last couple of weeks that I was praying about. I'm like, Lord, I know you told me to do this and I'm working hard at it, but I feel like I'm kind of spinning my wheels and I don't know, am I going in the right direction? Am I not? I wasn't angry, I wasn't upset. I was truly seeking what the Lord wanted. And just yesterday, those words of wisdom about being content and being faithful all came together yesterday in an epiphany. And I sat down and I had a vision, if you want to say that. I had a clear, precise vision. And the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. And I wrote it down and I made a plan. And I went home and I talked to my husband about it. And my husband was beaming with a smile. And he said, I can see this totally being of the hand of the Lord. So are you content? Are you faithful? I certainly hope so. If not, it's time to get that right. Thank you so much for coming over today and joining me in this podcast. And I will catch you next week on the next podcast.